Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. We have the amazing Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show. She talks about her line in the sand. She says she will not fund this government come September 30th if her stipulations are not met. We break some news here on whether or not she thinks we have the votes already to get the impeachment inquiry underway of Joe Biden. And what about Fannie Willis, as we like to call her, in Georgia? Is there votes in Georgia to get rid of her? We have that and so much more with Libby Evans. We make some connections I don't think anybody else is making about the inconsistencies in the left's logic as it approaches its indictments, multiple indictments of Donald Trump. This is a really fascinating hour. You're going to learn something. I can tell you that, and we make news. All right, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Without further ado, we have the wonderful Marjorie Taylor Greene joining us. Congresswoman, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on today.
Yeah, honored to be with you. I love this. So you made a promise at this town hall event. You said, I will not vote to fund the government if Congress doesn't do this. And the following are impeachment inquiry vote on Joe Biden, defund Biden's weaponization of government, eliminate all COVID vaccines and mandates, and no funding for the war in Ukraine. This tweet has gotten great traction. This video has gotten great traction. I think there was Republicans and conservatives all across the fruited plain saying, yes, hallelujah, amen. Do something. Fight, Republicans. Fight. Tell us. What's behind this? What are your aims and goals? And do you think this can actually gain traction with the rest of the caucus?
Well, I certainly hope so. And if anyone remembers, Andrew, I told everyone that I was holding my fight into appropriations because that's where it belongs. Appropriations is where we truly have power in Congress. We have the power of the purse strings. Not controlling the Senate, the Democrats control the Senate, the Democrats control the White House. The only place we really have power to make change is how we spend the money. And a lot of people have been wanting me to get engaged in battles throughout this year that I didn't think were worth fighting. But now it's time to really dig in and force changes that need to be made. We only have 2 weeks in September. We go back in Congress September 12th, and we have 2 weeks to pass 11 appropriation bills. We've already passed one. We have to pass 11 before September 30th. And September 30th, the government shuts down. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal to especially most Americans, because pretty much everyone I know is like, who cares if the government shuts down? But it's actually our constitutional duty as members in the House of Representatives. It's our job to fund the government. So that's why it's important to us. Now, here's what happens. If we're not able to pass those 11 appropriation bills by September 30th, we're looking at having to vote on a short-term continued resolution. That would fund the government. It would continue funding the government with all the same rules and spending policy and spending amounts that Nancy Pelosi put in line and passed before we took the majority. And so this is a place where I really think it's something we have to stand up to. And I made a promise to my constituents. I made a promise publicly. I will not ever fund money for Ukraine. So I will not vote for that. I will not fund the continuation of the weaponized government. And I think the best way to look at this is if we have to pass a short-term CR, we have to look at it like emergency funding for the government. And that means you don't have to fund all of it on September 30th. It's emergency funding. It's just to keep it going until we get our appropriation bills back. And so I'm not going to vote for Jack Smith's special counsel. He doesn't get any money. David Weiss, he needs to be fired. He's doing nothing but protect Hunter Biden. And COVID is over. We've all declared that. Even Joe Biden says it's over. Vaccines don't work. It's proven they don't work. And we're not going back to COVID insanity and communist lockdown. And so these are the things that I'm going to be working on when I get back in Washington. And I really think that most people agree with them. And I hope we can get movement.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, Andrew Clyde has come forward with also out of Georgia, by the way. I don't know if Georgia's waking up all of a sudden, Congresswoman, but starting to get some signs of life out of the Peach State, and I'm liking what I'm seeing. But you know, Congresswoman, it occurs to me that if Trump is indicted, if Trump is being persecuted politically, isn't the real emergency is for our democracy itself? You know, do we need emergency funding for a regime that has been weaponized against parents and moms at school boards, that has been weaponized against pro-life activists, that has been weaponized against a former president, that's been weaponized against these J6 defendants in our nation's capital? Isn't this crisis already at such a boiling point? What is it going to take to get some of these moderates like Don Bacon in Nebraska on board with moving forward with some more stringent, you know, punch them back twice as hard kind of, we're not playing this game anymore? What is it going to take? And do we have the votes?
Well, you got to realize people like Don Bacon and others have a lot of power because we only have 222 Republicans in the House of Representatives. And it takes 218 votes, voting yes together to pass anything in the House. And so, you know, I always tell people, it's like when you try to decide what restaurant to go to with your husband or wife or your kids or a group of people and everybody argues about where to go eat. Imagine trying to get 218 Republicans to agree on what to vote on. It's a nightmare. And so we are constantly battling that. And I don't understand it either, Andrew. I mean, I've been for impeachment of Joe Biden since his first day of office. And I introduced articles of impeachment on Joe Biden's first day of office on the Burisma and Ukraine issue, because we all knew it existed. We all knew this long before. But the impeachment inquiry is the line in the sand. It has to happen. It needs to happen the first week back in Washington. And I believe, from what I understand, from what I've been told, is we have the votes for that.
Really? So you're willing to come and tell our audience that Speaker McCarthy backs an impeachment inquiry, and you think, as of right now, we already have the votes to initiate that?
Well, Speaker McCarthy has backed the impeachment inquiry all along. It's our problem. People have been people like a Freedom Caucus member. Ken Buck has been against it. Don Bacon from Nebraska. Mike Lawler, who won a very, it's a blue district, a Biden district in New York. It's been people like that who have been sitting on the fence. Speaker McCarthy has spent pretty much this entire recess going around talking and presenting the evidence that we have uncovered on the Oversight Committee. Trying to push for an impeachment inquiry. And so from what I understand, what I've been told is we have the votes to get 218 for an impeachment inquiry.
Wow. So do you expect that vote to take place starting in September 12th or in this session? This is coming imminently?
I am asking for it when we go back into session on September 12th. I want to see that vote on the schedule. I really do. I want to see it on the schedule. We cannot wait anymore. The American people are outraged. Independents and Democrats see the evidence. And how can any of us be taken seriously? Who can take the Republican conference seriously if we cannot even ask the question? That's what an impeachment inquiry is just asking the question, should we investigate this? Should we inquire about impeachment? Should we look deeper? That's what an impeachment inquiry is. And I think we would be the most pathetic, useless Republican conference if we don't even have the courage to ask the question. But my understanding is that we finally have enough votes to do it. And I'm telling you, I don't think the government's worth funding unless we're able to get that impeachment inquiry.
Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie.
Congresswoman, what does an impeachment inquiry do? What powers does that extend to House GOP?
Well, an impeachment inquiry is the proper way to impeach a president, and it broadens our scope of power. It puts more power behind our subpoenas, and it puts the full force and weight of the House of Representatives into the investigation. Into looking into the crimes, investigating every single detail of what the president may have done. And we know what he's done. He has used or abused his power and engaged in corrupt business deals with his son and people and governments all over the world. So what that will entail is I would expect a very long, drawn out, extremely painful process for Joe Biden as we work through an impeachment inquiry and ask the question, should we impeach Joe Biden? That would be just unveiling evidence after evidence for the American people. And everyone can see for themselves exactly what this man has done throughout his career.
I wasn't expecting to ask this, but I've seen, you know, Representative Nancy Mace go and basically claim that the Bidens received upwards of $50 million. Is that your understanding as well, Congresswoman, or is there even more out there? Is that maybe on the high end? I mean, just how much money were they grifting off of this international influence peddling scheme? Do we know yet?
My understanding is that the dollar amount that we have is approximately a little over $30 million. But I would imagine as we get further, we may see as high as $50 million.
It's pretty insane. So now I'm going to ask it from a political angle. So you were out early asking for this impeachment. Obviously, you've done the calculus in your own head, but this is the narrative that you'll see if you tune into CBS, CNN, MSNBC. They're saying, please, GOP, start this impeachment inquiry. This is going to be a political disaster for you. The blowback on the Republican Party is going to be fierce if you start this effort. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What's your calculus?
No, I completely disagree with them. And that they're just saying that and taunting us because they're trying to scare us away from doing that. You see, most Republicans are really weak and they're terrified of what the media says. That's why you can always see Republicans retreat every single time the media threatens them. And that's nothing but a threat saying, trying to get Republicans to feel afraid of an impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. It will absolutely have the opposite effect of what they're saying. We will actually convince the American people that Joe Biden is the true criminal in the White House. He has been a criminal for a very long time, and we have the evidence. We don't have to make it up. It's not hearsay. It's not a Russian collusion investigation. It's not a January 6th committee. None of it's made up. We will have direct and real evidence that the American people will be shocked by, and they deserve that. And in fact, it will prove that this corrupt man did nothing but enrich himself and his family, abusing his power, the most powerful positions in the world, senator, vice president, president, while he has passed policies that have not only destroyed our freedoms, but destroyed our ability to live the American dream. And everyone is suffering under this. So I predict a complete landslide in 2024. I predict impeachment, and I predict that we will pass this impeachment inquiry in September this month.
You heard it right here from Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's saying we have the votes to start it. She's saying that it's politically beneficial. I agree. I 100% agree. The base is begging for Republicans to do something, anything. Get off the couch. Get off the snide. Do it. So one last question for you, Congresswoman, before we leave. This is more on the state level, Georgia. There is a provision where Governor Kemp could get involved, other state reps. They can remove a rogue pop prosecutor like Fannie Willis. Congresswoman, do you see life in the Georgia GOP? Are they going to make a move on removing Fannie Willis?
I'm so glad you asked me, Andrew. There's a lot of confusion about this, and I've called literally every person I know in our state government, as well as talked to a lot of people on our federal level. We do not have the votes. You have to have enough votes to impeach Fannie Willis, and I admire Colton Moore, our senator. He's in my district, actually. I'm really glad he's doing what he's doing and pushing this out there. But the reality, the literal reality, the vote count, we do not have enough Republicans in the House and the Senate to vote to impeach Fannie Willis. So unless we have a new election and all of a sudden elect more Republicans, it just can't happen.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com. Promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
Libby Emmons, welcome to the show, editor-in-chief of the Post Millennial.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So, Libby, you and I were texting back and forth earlier this morning about some of the logical, I guess the breaks in the logic of the left and their assault on President Trump, trying to get Trump at all costs, it seems. They're even willing to risk this boomerang of a live televised trial in Fulton County. They don't seem to care,
crazy. But
their logic is flawed. And you exposed something, and I thought it was fantastic. And I wanted you to come on and explain it to our audience. What do they have on Trump that they don't also have on Biden? Can you break this down for our audience?
Yeah. So this is something that I found remarkably interesting as we came to the indictments and all of this. In 2019, when Trump was impeached by the U.S. House of Representatives, one of the things that he was impeached for in December 2019 was for election interference in the 2020 presidential election. You remember that Biden announced in 2019 in April that he was going to be running for president. And then we had, Trump was the president. He was also running for re-election. And in 2019, you had the U.S. House accusing Trump of election interference into an election that had not happened yet. And their reasoning was because he had made a phone call to President Zelensky of Ukraine inquiring as to Biden's involvement in the firing of a prosecutor called Viktor Shokin. So if I can just read from the impeachment.
Yeah.
So they said that Trump interfered in the 2020 election. Of course, this was months and months prior to the election, saying he did so through a scheme or course of conduct that included soliciting the government of Ukraine to publicly announce investigations that would benefit Trump's reelection, harm the election prospects of a political opponent, namely Joe Biden, and influence the 2020 United States presidential election to his advantage. So the U.S. House determined that Trump interfered in an election that had not happened yet because he asked for an investigation into Biden's activities in Ukraine with the firing of this prosecutor, which has its own entire backstory. However, Joe Biden, his Department of Justice, is currently prosecuting a political opponent of his. So how is that not election interference? We have now, if asking for an investigation into a fellow candidate, a political opponent, can get a president impeached, then why isn't it impeachable for Biden to have his Department of Justice actually using the power of the executive branch to prosecute his political opponent? You also have Joe Biden and the White House consistently insisting that the Department of Justice, headed by Merrick Garland, who, of course, has his own personal beefs with Donald Trump, that this Department of Justice is independent. This is what Biden and the White House keep telling us. However, we also have reporting out from the New York Post that shows that Biden aides from the White House, met with special counsel Jack Smith prior to the indictments being levied against Trump. What business could they possibly have with special counsel, independent officer Jack Smith working under the DOJ? What business could they have with him other than to discuss impending indictments? We have also seen Trump and his campaign come out and say that they believe there has been some collusion between the district attorney in Atlanta, Fonnie Willis, and the district attorney in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, as well as with the Department of Justice and Jack Smith. So I ask you, why is Biden not being impeached for interfering in the 2024 election by launching a prosecution of his primary political opponent?
It's a great connection you've made, Libby. I haven't heard anybody really connect it so succinctly in referencing the impeachment of Donald Trump in the same precedent that they set there, that, hey, you're calling for an investigation. Well, guess what? Trump is under investigation multiple times. Now, the key connection that you're making, which I think is critical, is you're tying that there is a conspiracy. This is coordinated, and there really only is one option. It's coming from D.C. Now, is the DOJ getting marching orders from the Biden White House? If you guys could throw up that New York Post graphic right now, Biden staffers met with special counsel Jack Smith's aides before Trump indictment. The White House counsel's office met with a top aide to special counsel Jack Smith just weeks before he brought charges against former President Trump for allegedly mishandling classified documents, raising serious concerns about coordinated legal efforts. Again, coordinated legal efforts aimed at President Biden's likely 2024 opponent. So this is the key. Now, we also have this, which happened right here on this show, which was a really important connection. Was this the Newt Gingrich thing?
Yes. This was so huge. Let's, huge.
Let's play cut 37.
That I am told, this is hearsay, but I am told by a reliable source that Friday evening, somebody from Washington called the district attorney in Atlanta and said, you have to indict on Monday. We have to cover up all of the mistakes we just made with Weiss. And she said, apparently, my jurors aren't coming back till Tuesday. And they said, you didn't hear me. You have to indict on Monday. And she said, well, they're not going to get here before noon. They said, it doesn't matter. She said, this means it's going to be 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. They said, it doesn't matter. We need the news
so
media
who,
shifting.
Who made that phone call?
We don't know. And I'm telling you up front, this is hearsay, but it's from a person who has remarkably good sources.
I totally believe it, though, because that would explain why they leaked and they messed up on the clerk document, why she was exhausted, and why they had the 11 p.m. press conference, Mr. Speaker.
Look at Newt just laughing because he's like, of course this is coordinated. Of course there's a conspiracy. It's ironic that Trump is under indictment for a conspiracy and racketeering. Meanwhile, the left has coordinated the assault on electors even Arizona was talking about doing it. Michigan, Georgia, a number of the electors have been indicted as co-conspirators. Meanwhile, you have this meeting that happened between the White House aides and Jack Smith. And then you have this hearsay, although I believe Newt's sources to be fairly reliable. If he's hearing this, that means that there's a little whisper campaign talking about this coordinated colluding effort on the left, meaning the Biden DOJ is completely working on behalf of the Biden campaign. Is that how you see it, Libby? Yes. Am I missing something?
I do. I don't think you're missing anything. In fact, I think there's even more to it. Not only is the DOJ right now working on behalf of the Biden campaign, they have been working on behalf of the Biden campaign and then the presidency for some time. We also have heard whistleblower testimony from IRS agent Gary Shapley, who testified before Congress in June, saying that as soon as Biden was the presumptive nominee in 2020, investigations that the IRS had going into his son Hunter Biden's tax issues and tax schemes, as well as a gun charge, were essentially tabled. The brakes were put on these investigations. Shapley and those who were working on the investigation with him were not able to push things through. Eventually, they were told that they could go public with the investigation after the election in 2020. However, after that November election, they were told that because there were issues in the wake of that election, they would not be able to go public with it until December. By the time they were ready to go public with it, Shapley testified that essentially the DOJ had tipped off Biden's Secret Service agents who were covering him at that point. And therefore, the search warrant that they had worked to obtain and planned to execute was completely undermined by the DOJ. So what is going on? The DOJ does not appear to be at all independent. In fact, they appear to be working directly for the Biden campaign, for the Biden family, and have been doing so for some time. I think it's absolutely essential to get to the bottom of what was going on with these Biden aides meeting with Jack Smith. They have absolutely no business meddling in the affairs of a special counsel. And when you look at what's going on with special counsels in the Department of Justice, we also see that they appointed a U.S. attorney, David Weiss, who was the U.S. attorney for Delaware, as special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden, when we also have testimony, again from Shapley, that Weiss was preventing the furtherance of his investigation into Hunter Biden. You also have a U.S. regulation, I believe Senator Ted Cruz mentioned this, that says that a special counsel cannot continue working for the Department of Justice in the capacity of a U.S. attorney. Now you have David Weiss essentially double dipping. He's both working for the DOJ and supposed to be independently prosecuting Hunter Biden. That's just not possible for him to do. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. And we already know this. So we have a not independent DOJ prosecuting the president's political opponents, refusing to actually do an investigation into Hunter Biden, and specifically refusing to investigate Joe Biden's involvement in his son's business dealings in China and notably Ukraine. So if you also go back to what the Congress is working to uncover, which I think has really been underreported, you see that Biden has his hands dirty all over the place.
That's right. Weiss is reporting to Merrick Garland, who's reporting to the dad of the son who's under investigation. So I want to get into this. So we played the Newt Gingrich clip. We played that a couple times on the show since it happened. It went mega viral everywhere online, tens of millions of impressions. The piece in that clip that I think we sometimes skim over, yes, we hit the coordination. This is a collusion at the highest levels of our government against Donald Trump. But they talk about the Weiss screw-up. They rushed Fulton County because they wanted to take our eyes off of this Weiss special counsel situation. Now, when you hear Newt say that, what do you interpret the screw-up to be? What are they covering up for there?
I think they're covering up for a lot of things. One, I think that they're covering up for appointing someone as special counsel who has hindered an investigation into the very thing he is now tasked with investigating. He was the one who said that he would not bring a case against Hunter Biden in Delaware. Now he's saying that maybe he would bring it in California or D.C. The attorneys in those places said already that they would not bring a case against Hunter Biden. I think that's certainly a screw up. I think it's also a screw up to have appointed someone who's already working for the DOJ. And I think there's probably more to what's going on there than we know, because I think also Weiss already was involved with the Biden family in a personal way previously. Didn't he work with Bo Biden as well?
Yes. Yeah. Bo Biden. Yes. He worked with Bo Biden. And then I believe one of his aides, Blake can fact check us in real time, but I believe one of the Bo Biden's aides was actually on his team of lawyers in this investigation. So let's take it a level back though, Libby. If you, and this is what is just occurring to me in this moment, mm-hmm. bear with me, but why did they have to appoint a special counsel in the first place? Right? I mean, maybe that's the screw up that they pulled the trigger and it was kind of like, whoa, where did that come from? What led to the appointment of a special counsel in your estimation? Was it a political screw up that they even went that far? Were the people mad at Merrick Garland up at, in Biden's White House? Do we know any details there?
Well, we do know that Hunter Biden was up on criminal charges, right? For, I think he had two tax charges and a gun charge, because he had lied on a gun background check, which of course is incredibly ironic given his father's demand for constant background checks of everyone who's ever touched a gun once in their life. But anyway, he was up on charges. He had secured a plea deal with prosecutors in Delaware. His attorneys had gone in. The prosecutors had gone in to meet with the judge and, finalize this plea deal. The judge took a look at it. There was a portion of it in the gun deferment charge, which basically said, if you stay out of trouble, we won't charge you with this gun thing, that essentially would have precluded any prosecution or indictment of Hunter Biden on any other future charges, including charges related to having not registered as a foreign agent before collecting millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah,
from Ukraine and China and Kazakhstan.
I think that is all valid. I think they know they have them dead to rights. I think they know House GOP has them dead to rights. I think they know they have Hunter dead to rights. I think that they know that there is a recording that is about to be, shown to the public that is about to blow the doors off this investigation in a major way.
What's that?
But they. Greg Kelly has been hinting about this, so we'll see what it is. So, but my point is, I think that they gave too much credence to the Hunter Biden investigation by appointing this special counsel, and they probably broke with the Biden White House, and so that had everybody scrambling, which is why they called Fannie down in Fulton County to move quick, to change the narrative. But I think that's what really going on here is that it was a political calculation. They knew that the DOJ gave too much credence to the investigation by appointing David Weiss, even though David Weiss is in their pocket. We all know this.
He's in their pocket.
I ran out of time.
Yeah.
I've run out of time, sadly. We've got these radio breaks.
Thank you, Andrew.
Libby Evans, the great Libby Evans from the Post Millennial. Thank you for your time. We'll have you again soon. That's for sure. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. If this show means something to you, please consider joining Charlie Kirk Exclusive. We just are rolling it out. And if you're a supporter of the show already, we're going to be sending you a coupon in your inbox. So check out your email. We're going to be sending those out on Tuesday morning. So check your inbox Tuesday morning. You're going to get a coupon. It's going to be great. And you get a free year on the site just for being a supporter already. Charlie Kirk Exclusive, members.charliekirk.com. You become an annual member right now, we're going to send you a free Never Surrender shirt. So you don't want to miss out on that offer. It's the way you support us. You keep us bulletproof and censorship free. So go to members.charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.